I just want you to know that 10% of your tithe goes to mission at Gateway Church. And to date, we have spent somewhere around $500,000 into missions already in just 2.5 years of our church. And out of that 10%, the first part of that goes to Jewish ministry. We believe that we have to reach the Jew first. And so we are investing heavily into Messianic Jewish congregations around this former Soviet Union that are springing up there through MJBI. And I just want to tell you that your money is being well spent. Church is doing great. It's a great trip. And thank you for letting us go, for sending us and allowing us to go. I'm going to share something this morning that honestly changed my life 2 years ago. Throughout the last 4 years of my life, this has totally, absolutely revolutionized my life. And you know what? When you walk with the Lord, when you decide to serve Jesus, you're never going to stay the same. This is one thing I'm learning. And by the way, not only am I a pastor here at the church, but I want to just kind of put you at ease. I'm a Christian too. I want you to know that. That it's actually one of the requirements for being on staff is that you're born again. They really raise the bar here for to be on staff. And so I want you to know that unlike you, I get up in the morning. I have quiet time. I'm a Christian, and I want to grow as a Christian. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I want to do more for the Lord. There was a time about 4 years ago where I was probably going through the greatest time of frustration in my life. I was a senior pastor at a church, and I was so frustrated. I was wondering why that I was not praying for sick people and seeing them be healed, why that I was not seeing the miracles of Jesus in my life, why I was just kind of getting up and doing the same thing every day, kind of floating through life and not really seeing, though, the things that I wanted to see. And I even said, you know, if this is the way it is, this must be so hard, it must be so difficult to do that only a few people are able to do these things. Because, you know, most of the Christians I hang around aren't doing it either. And that was supposed to make me feel better, you know, that we're all mediocre together. But it didn't make me feel any better. And I just looked around and there wasn't many people doing it. There wasn't many people that walked naturally supernatural. And that's the way we should be. According to Jesus, we should be naturally supernatural. That we should have signs and wonders and miracles happening in our lives all the time. According to the disciples, they came back and reported to Jesus that, you know, demons submitted to us in your name. We laid hands on sick people and saw them healed. Things happen in their lives all the time. That was not happening in my life, though. And so I was thinking, this must be so complicated and so hard that only a few really smart people are going to be able to figure this out. That obviously it's going to take me a long time to get to that point. And, you know, I had to make up my mind. Either I'm going to, you know, spend a long time studying and praying and really trying to figure it out, or the Lord was going to have to give me revelation. And I'm not that smart, so the Lord had to give me revelation. And so he did one day. And here's what the Lord said to me. Brady, if you don't want to remain the same, and if you're tired of being lukewarm, turn on the light. And I remember the morning I heard that, I went, what? I mean, it had to be either really simple or really hard. And the Lord said, Brady, turn on the light. And that's the title of my message this morning. I'm here today to challenge you in your life today to turn on the light. And I'm telling you that if you do, if you will put 5% of what I'm going to ask you to do today, if you'll do 5% of it, it'll totally change your life today. I can make this one guarantee, you won't stay the same. And if you're tired of just staying the same right where you are today, if you are absolutely satisfied with where you are today, this message is not for you. But if you're not satisfied with where you are in the Lord, if you want more, if there is a gnawing hunger in your heart to do more for Jesus than you've ever done before, this message is for you today. And so I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 1, and we're going to read the first 4 verses of the Bible. Now listen, we cannot overlook the fact that Genesis is the seedbed for the rest of the Bible. That what Jesus started, what the Lord started in Genesis, he's been trying to flesh out for 5,000 years. That what started in Genesis he has not changed his mind about mankind, by the way. He still believes you're created in his image. He still believes God did not take a great gamble. I hear people say God took a big gamble by trusting us with all the ministry on the earth. No, I think this, God knew it was going to work out just fine. God can trust you with ministry. God wants you to do the ministry on the earth. This is not a gamble for God. God knows everything that's going to happen. He knew it was going to work out just fine. He knew that people at Gateway Church would do the ministry of the Lord Jesus. He knows it's going to work out fine. He knows you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. I know that I'm going to do it. I have great confidence in what's about to happen in our midst here. And so in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep." Now, is this you when you were lost? Does this describe you before you knew Jesus? Darkness was over you, that you were formless and void, that you were just drifting through life, not knowing your purpose, not knowing your destiny, full of darkness. And he said, "And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Now, I want you to know something today. Whether you're lost or born again in this room, the Holy Spirit is hovering over you today. And you know what happens when the Holy Spirit hovers over people? The Holy Spirit changes people. The Holy Spirit is an agent of change. The Holy Spirit is our great comforter. He comes to comfort you today. If you're going through a crisis situation, the Holy Spirit is here today to bring great comfort to you. But the Holy Spirit will not allow you to stay in your comfort zone. The Holy Spirit has come today to change you into the image of Jesus. Now listen, has anybody run up to you this week and mistaken you for Jesus? Have they? Has that happened this week? Are you Jesus? No. That's not happened to me lately either. I had a guy thought one day I was Jim Carrey, but I'm not Jesus. And so I want you to know something today, that I need to be changed. I need to be changed. Do you need to be changed? Listen, if you'll amen me, this will go a lot faster this morning, okay? And so God saw, listen, he says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Do you see how quickly that happened? Do you think that took thousands of years for that to happen? Or do you think that that may have happened instantaneously? I think it happened very quickly, immediately, like flipping on the light switch at your home. That's how quickly this happened. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. Now listen, right away God said, "I like the light better than I like the darkness." In fact, God made a decision right there. I'm going to live in the light. Wherever there is light, that's my domain. That's my kingdom. That's where I'm going to live. He said, "I don't want any part of darkness. I don't like darkness. I'm not going to have any part of it." In fact, he made a decision. In Jude chapter 6, we see what he did with the darkness. Jude verse 6, it says, "And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their home," he's talking about the time where he threw one-third of the angels out of heaven along with Satan, "these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day." Now I want you to know something. This is a theological truth today, that Satan has legal access given to him by God to dwell in the areas of darkness, both spiritual darkness, physical darkness. Satan lives in darkness. This is about to mess you up here. Even the darkness that might be in a believer's life. Do you catch that now? You can be born again here today. Jesus can be the sole proprietor of your spirit. But in your soul and in your body, there can be places of darkness that the enemy has legal right and legal authority to dwell in. Satan lives in darkness. And in any area of your life this morning that you do not want the light to come, then Satan has a feast, has a great feast in the areas of darkness that you keep. That's where he lives. That's where he torments believers. That's where he comes. That's where he abides. That's where he does his best work, is in areas of darkness, even in areas of darkness that might be in a believer's life. And I believe today that every believer must confront the darkness in their life on a regular basis. And this is what I'm talking about today. Now in Colossians chapter 1, we see these two kingdoms of darkness that are now been firmly established. Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Both dominion and kingdom mean places of authority. Satan has authority in darkness. The Lord Jesus has authority in the light. That's the way God set it up. One day there will be nothing but light. In fact, in heaven, you know, it starts out in Genesis chapter 1 with he saying, "Let light be separated from darkness." You know how the book ends in Revelation? There's not going to be any need for the sun or the moon in heaven, because the Lord Jesus, the Lamb, is going to be our light in heaven. Heaven will be no darkness in life. There will be no night in heaven. There will be nothing but illuminated light for eternity, day after day after day after day, hour after hour. Heaven will be lit up with the glory of the Lord Jesus, and we will live in everlasting eternal light in heaven. both physical and spiritual life. There will never be an area of darkness in your heart again when you get to heaven. Can you say amen to that? That is good news this morning. Now, in Ephesians 5, before you put that scripture up, in Ephesians 5, Paul wrote a letter to the church at Ephesus, and he was trying to encourage them to go to another level, like I'm encouraging you today. In fact, Paul was saying, listen, church, you're not going to stay the same. When you accepted Jesus and the Holy Spirit came into your life, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, when you were born again and the fruit of the Spirit began to appear in you, you're not going to stay the same. And so here's what Paul says. Paul was just real straightforward. In verse 1, he says, be imitators of God. Don't put it up quite yet. Be imitators of God. Now, how would you like someone to have you in a counseling session, sit down with you, and you're complaining, you've got this problem, you're working through it, and the counselor says, hold, just stop. Listen, here's your solution. Just act like God. Just act like God. Now, have a good day. Now, if you're making your living counseling and that's the counsel you're given, you're going to have skinny kids because you're not going to make a very good living. But be imitators of God. Now, Paul, I'm so thankful that Paul went into a little more detail than that. But he did say, act like God. It's possible today for you to be mistaken for Jesus. I really believe that it's possible for you to be mistaken or for you to have an accurate reflection of Jesus Christ. Not perfect, but you're gonna look and talk and act so much like Jesus that people are gonna mistake you for Christ. Now, here's what he said though in verse 8, Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord, and live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out, that's what we're doing this morning, let's find out this morning what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Now, if you're reading along in your Bible, I want you to underline the word expose. And if not, I want you to write that word down in your notes today. Because that word simply means to bring it into the light. To give a full explanation. Now, my mom and dad believed in spanking when I grew up. And I know you can't tell that, but I really did have a lot of discipline growing up. And here's what my dad didn't do this, but my mom would do this. We had a little routine we had to go through before I knew the routine. I was going to get a spanking. I got caught. I was busted. The judge, the jury, the trial all took about 15 seconds. I'm busted. I'm about to get a spanking. And then my mom would say this before she gave me a spanking. Give me a full explanation. Explain yourself, young man. My mom, can we just cut to the chase? Whatever I tell you is going to be a lie. I don't know why I did it. I have no idea. I was on heavy medication. I'm out of my mind. I don't know why I did it. Because you told me not to. That was the real reason I did it. Can we just cut to the chase and get... No, she wanted me to explain why I disobeyed. I don't know why I disobeyed. I just know that I'm getting spanked. And can we just... You're just prolonging the inevitable. Spank me and let's move on with our lives. But this is what... Now listen, here's the good news. All the Lord wants from you today is to bring it into the light, give Him a full explanation, and you can skip the spanking. That's grace. However, y'all amen that really quickly. However, if you do not bring it into the light, and you refuse to give the explanation, the Bible says the Lord disciplines those He loves. You get the spanking. But if you'll bring it into the light and give a full explanation, you can skip the spanking. That's the good news, isn't it? I'll take that option. My mom never gave me that option. I brought it into the light. I gave her an explanation. Still got the spanking. And then I met Jesus, and I tried to explain to her how Jesus would do it. She had no, she didn't care. And let's keep reading here. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret, but everything, listen, everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Satan lost his ability to hide in the darkness a long time ago. When you shine the light of the Holy Spirit on the places of darkness in your heart, he cannot hide. The enemy cannot hide from the Lord Jesus. He lost his authority and ability to hide from the Lord Jesus a long time ago. And he says, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Now, I believe this morning that most believers, and maybe many of us in this room today, have just gotten used to the darkness. Well, you know, I'm a man, so I'm just always going to struggle with lust and anger and greed. Well, I'm a woman, so I'm always going to have my feelings hurt. I'm never going to be able to get along. Oh, it's just my as well, but I'm always going to be offended. That must be my lot in life. I'm just used to the darkness. My dad did that. My granddad did that. I'm probably going to do that. My son might do that. See, we just get used to the darkness. When I went to the Ukraine, there is more light bulbs in my house than there is in the entire city of Odessa, Ukraine. It's dark there. The street lights hardly work. The senior pastor of the church there lives in a high-rise apartment complex, which, by the way, unbelievable living conditions there for people. And so one evening, it was late, it was like 8 or 9 o'clock, they invited us up to their house to drink coffee. And so we're walking up this flight of stairs. They live on the third floor. And we're walking up these steps. Look, OSHA has never been to Ukraine. Occupational safety and all those things are totally non-existent there. And honestly, they're the most dangerous set of steps I'd ever seen in my life. The way they wound around, one wrong step, you dropped about 4 feet. You could have broken your leg, your back, whatever you fall on. And the rail had about 2 screws holding it into the wall. There was no support. And so we're walking up these things, and, you know, they have 3 little boys. So the pastor and his wife and the 3 little boys, they just shoot up the steps. No problem. They get to the top. They're waiting at the door for us. And George and I are holding each other like a couple of old women walking up the steps. It's dark. We can't see. We're scared that we're going to break our leg going up the steps. And we get to the top, and I said, aren't you guys afraid? Or don't you get scared when you're walking up these steps? Doesn't that bother you? There's no light. They go, every time we put a light bulb in the hallway, someone steals it. And he says, and here's what she said. We're used to the darkness. And I thought in my heart, yep, most believers are just used to the darkness. We just get used to it. We just get used to walking through life and tolerating areas of darkness in our life and just assuming that it must be too difficult to overcome this. That it's only for a few people who've been to Bible school and have God's special favor that can overcome the areas of darkness. And the rest of us, our lot in life is just to walk it out and tolerate it. And that's not it, though. Listen, there's better news than that. And so today, there are 2 things that I believe the Lord tells us to do that we can walk in the light. And before I give you the 2 things, you've got to do both of them. You can't do just one of these. You have to do both. It's like combining, have you ever cooked biscuits without putting the yeast in, those are crackers. They're not biscuits. You have to put everything in. I don't know a lot about baking. That was the only baking analogy I could come up with. Obviously. But I do know this, you have to put all of the ingredients in. Everything it says on that list, those are not suggestions. Here's the first thing you do. Just say yes to the Holy Spirit. Now I know you're saying, oh no, that's so simple, and obviously you didn't have much time to study because that is too simple. You know what? You hear the voice of the Lord just fine. In fact, you see, if I call, like I do a lot of prophetic ministry, if I had one of you stand up and I say, the Lord says to you, you're hearing the Lord just fine, you would believe that, but because I said it in a large group, most of you don't believe that. Most of you believe that only a few people hear the Lord's voice real well. Listen, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. If you're born again here today, listen, you cannot even be born again unless you hear the Lord's voice calling you out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Is that not right? He rescued you. You know how you were rescued? You heard the voice of the Lord. You heard the Holy Spirit. You came out of darkness and were rescued. And so we are supernaturally equipped to hear the voice of the Lord. And all you have to do is say yes to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to help you get out of the darkness. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, it says, this is the verdict. In other words, this has already been declared. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Now listen today, if you are in love with the sin, the darkness in your life, if you're in love with that darkness, this is the most miserable message you'll ever hear. But if you hate the darkness that's in your life like I did 4 years ago, when I began to hate the darkness, I began to literally loathe the darkness that was in my life. This was good news to me. It says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth, isn't that us today? I mean, we've all made that choice in this room today to live by the truth. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. And so I said, Lord, how do I do that? How do I expose myself? How do I come into the light on a daily basis? And the Lord showed me how to pray. Now, what I'm about to give you, this prayer is not going to be on keychains one day. I'm not trying to give you another prayer of Jabez. I'm telling you, this is how the Lord told me to pray. I gave it to you in your sermon notes. It's inside your bulletin. It'll come up on the screen. But ask the Lord how you should pray. But I'm telling you, let me give you a warning before you pray this prayer. It'll totally mess you up. I'm just telling you that. In fact, I shared this prayer the way I was praying with our leaders about a month ago, and a guy that's one of our life group leaders said he's praying this now every day for a month. He said it's totally ruined his life. I'm just picking. But it will mess you up. And I'll tell you why. Because everything that's hidden in the darkness will come to the light, and then you must deal with it. But it's easy to deal with. We just repent. We say, Lord, I'm sorry. Cleanse me. But listen, you've got to confront the darkness in your own life. You've got to be willing to confront it. You've got to be willing to face it. You've got to be willing to admit to it. You don't have to tell the whole crowd. You don't have to tell 12 people. You just got to admit to yourself that there's areas of darkness in your life. We just learn to live with it. We think it's such a normal part of who we are that it can't be wrong. This is who I am. No, it's not of the Lord. And when you pray this prayer, it'll come to the surface. And then we've got to deal with it. You've got to confront the darkness in your own heart. And this is what he says. Here's how I pray. I say, I ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light into every dark area of my soul. I will not hide, and I will not withdraw from your presence. Expose and remove the works of darkness in my life. I give the Holy Spirit permission to establish the kingdom of Jesus Christ in my thoughts, my emotions, and in my physical body. I want to be an accurate reflection of Jesus Christ from this day forward. I pray that all the time. I pray it in the morning, in my quiet time. I pray it in my car. I pray it at night. My wife and I pray this together. I pray this over my children. Lord, I give you permission. Please shine the light of your Holy Spirit into every dark area of my heart. Lord, I do not want to hide. I'm not running from you. I'm not going to be like Adam and Eve and run from his presence and cover myself with fig leaves and act like nothing was wrong when he came looking for them in the garden. Listen, what started in Genesis is being fleshed out today. We run from the Lord when actually we should be running to him. And I'm telling you today, if you'll just say, Lord, I just give you permission to shine your light right now into every dark part of my heart. Lord, I'm not going to hide from you. I'm not going to run from you. I want you. I embrace you. You know, when I came home from the Ukraine, I'd been gone 10 days, the longest I've ever been gone from my wife or kids. And when my 4-year-old boy, he's real, real tender. He really loves to cuddle and hug, and he's got a real tender spirit. When he saw me, he ran and jumped on me, and for all night long, he was just real close to me. I'm telling you, it melted my heart. I knew that's what he was going to do. I couldn't wait to get home because he was going to run to me. He was going to jump in my arms. He had not seen me for 10 days. He just laid his head on me. He just talked to me and talked my ear off, told me everything he had done at his grandparents' house, told me all the stories. He was all over me. And I loved every minute of it. And I wonder how long it's been since some of us have run to the dad and just let him love on us. Listen, all he wants you to do is run to him. All he wants you to do is let him come. Let him embrace you today. Running to the Lord. See, you're not, it doesn't matter what you've done. It's not going to be anger that you get from him. It's not going to be anger. It's going to be a warm embrace. Why would we not run to the Lord? I don't want Abram to ever think, when he's 20 years old, I want him to know when he comes to dad, he's going to get a warm embrace. So that Abram one day knows that's how God is. That's how dad is. That must be how God is. Listen, all you're going to get is a warm embrace. Why would we not expose ourselves and open our hearts and just be honest to the Lord? I'm about to give you one sentence that if you forget everything else I've spoken today, you may forget who I am 20 years from now, but I don't want you to ever forget this one sentence. In fact, this entire message is to give you one sentence today that I want you to remember, and here it is. The greatest weapon you have against the enemy is to have an honest heart before the Lord. The greatest weapon you have against the enemy and his strategy, his schemes against you, against your marriage, against your finances, against your sickness, against everything in your children's lives, against every part of your life, the greatest weapon you have is simply to have an honest heart before the Lord. Just to say, Lord, I'm insecure. Lord, there's a rotten, rotten core in my heart. Will you just come right now and cleanse me? Will you come today and liberate me from this thing? Lord, I'm tired of hiding. I'm tired of hiding this thing in my heart. I'm tired of acting like it's not here. I'm tired of believing that it's just normal. I'm not going to tolerate the darkness anymore. Lord, I need you and you alone. Reign in me. That song we sang today. Lord, reign in me. In fact, the Lord Jesus will not live in any part of your life that you have not crucified. God is waiting on you. We're not waiting on God. God's waiting on us. And the moment we become honest, the moment we become vulnerable to the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes in like a flood and establishes His kingdom in your life. And then the second thing is that the Holy Spirit will always lead you to the written Word of God. Always the Holy Spirit will now lead you to the written Word. Psalms 119:105 says, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." Prophecy and preaching do not replace the Word. Prophecy and preaching reveal the Word. They confirm the Word. They are the Word. I would rather have one rhema moment in my quiet time reading my Bible than 50 prophetic words that have no bearing with the Word of God. I love both. By the way, no one loves prophetic ministry more than I do. I love it. I do it and I love it. But I'm telling you, if you're going to prophesy, you better get in the Word first. I don't want anyone prophesying that does not have a foundation in the Word of God, because you'll prophesy out of your flesh. I only prophesy out of the Word. It must all be birthed out of this Word. And it must all come from here or it's not valid. All preaching must come from here or it's not valid. If you're listening to people that are not preaching the Word, throw your tapes away. It's worthless. Everything must be birthed from here. In verse 130, Psalms 119:130 says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." In fact, Ephesians 6 says that one of the weapons of our warfare is the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. You see how the Holy Spirit and the Word always work together. Do you know why? The Holy Spirit wrote the Word. It's His Word. This is the Holy Spirit's Word. The Bible was written by men as they were carried along, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You cannot be in love with the Holy Spirit and not be in love with the Word. And the only complaint I have against charismatics is this. I love charismatic people. I am a charismatic person. I was raised in charismatic circles. That's all I've ever known. But the thing that I have is they embrace the manifestations of the Spirit, but they have no love for the Word. Not everyone. I'm just telling you it's a complaint I have against some people. And you've got to have both, a love for the Holy Spirit. You cannot love the Holy Spirit without not loving the Word. Because the Holy Spirit's always going to take you back to the Word. In fact, if you resist the Holy Spirit, when He asks you to go back to the Word, you'll become a dangerous person. And if all you do is study the Word but resist the Holy Spirit, you'll become a Pharisee. Because Pharisees memorized the first five books of the Bible, but they resisted the Holy Spirit, and all they became was religious and condemning. And that's all they became. You have to have both. You have to love the Word and love the Spirit, and then you become a tool in God's, God can use you then. You become a powerful tool in God's hand. In fact, one of the founding principles, if you want to know what one of the founding values of our church is that we have a balance of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We want everything the Holy Spirit has in our church, but we want everything to be birthed out of Scripture. We want to have everything. We believe in all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. We resist nothing of the Holy Spirit. We love the Holy Spirit. We invite the Holy Spirit into everything we do. But listen, the Holy Spirit then says, find it in the Word. It's a balance because the Holy Spirit wants us to have that balance. We're not having to fight the Holy Spirit over this. The Holy Spirit leads us to this. You need to catch this today. It must be a balance. John chapter 6, verse 63 says, "The Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you," now Jesus said this, "the words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." You see how Jesus set all this up? He said, "I want you to have all of the Spirit and all of the Word, because it'll become life to you. And darkness will not rule on your heart." Listen, I'm telling you today, if you'll turn on the light, the Lord will change you. You won't stay the same. You pray like this, you will not stay the same. You will move forward. You will have more anointing, more calling, more gifting on your life than you can possibly imagine. Now, I'm going to say something to you that's going to be hard for some of you to believe. But the call of God on your life is greater than you can imagine. It's bigger than you think. It's better than you think. The Lord wants to use you more powerfully than you can imagine. That's how He wants to use you. It's more than you think. It's better than you think. There's a stronger, more significant, more powerful call on your life than you can possibly imagine. And all we have to do is turn on the light to see it. And it's the most exciting thing you'll ever see. You have no idea at the capacity God wants to use you until you turn the light on. Have you ever gone to look at a house you wanted to buy without turning on the lights? I mean, you fall in love with it when you see it. And when you turn on the light and see what's really in your heart, the goodness that God has in you, the powerful thing that God wants to use you for, you'll be more excited about Jesus today than you've ever been in your life. I am more excited about Jesus right now than I did the day I was born again. I am more excited. I am so excited about what Jesus is doing in my life and in the church. I don't want to be 75 years old and just be aggravated and cynical about God. I want to be more excited when I'm 75 than I am now. And the way we do that is turn the light on every day. God will show you. I'm telling you, the Lord's come today to turn the light on in all your hearts and to show you something powerful and supernatural. Will you stand with me this morning? And I'm going to read a scripture over you that I believe is a prophetic scripture. And I want you to just close your eyes for a minute. And this word, this scripture is in Isaiah chapter 60. And I'm going to read this over you. And if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I need light. I'm tired of the darkness. I am not going to get used to the darkness any longer. I recognize that there are areas of darkness in my life and I am not going to tolerate them any longer. I am not going to be used to darkness. Here's the word. Here's the scripture that I'm going to read over you. It's the prophetic word to your life. And if you'll believe this scripture, it'll change your life today. Isaiah 60 says, "Arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." The glory of the Lord rises upon you today. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. That's the call of the Lord to your life this morning. And I'm just asking you right now, will you respond? Will you say yes to the Holy Spirit today? Some of you right now, right where you're standing, right as the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now, you just need to say yes right now. Say yes, Lord. I'm hearing you. You know you're hearing the Lord. Just say yes. Just say yes right now. That's all I did. 4 years ago, all I could do was say, yes, Lord, I'll do it. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what I was going to be taken through. I just know that I was frustrated, that I needed to go to another place. And all I did, I said, Lord, I say yes to you today. I say yes to you today. Start right now. Just say yes. Lord, I come to you right now, and I just bless the people here today. I bless every man, every woman, every child, every teenager that's responding to your Holy Spirit. I bless them right now. Father, I pray you'd give them ears to hear. I pray you'd give them eyes to see. I pray you'd give them a mind to understand and a heart to receive all that you're saying and all that you're doing. Lord, I pray you would illuminate their thinking, illuminate their thoughts. I pray for the Holy Spirit to come powerfully upon them today. May the Spirit of the Lord rest upon them. Lord, I pray that we would not be the same, that you would change us supernaturally. Lord, that we would become a people that the glory of the Lord truly would rise upon us, that you would increase our influence, that we would be an accurate reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. From this day forward, let our words and our deeds be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I bless them today, and I give you all the glory and all the honor.